Please turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew, chapter 1, verse 21. Matthew, chapter 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So our subject tonight is taken actually from the verse. Call his name Jesus. It is taught from the creation of the first man, Adam, until today, 50 billion people have lived on this earth. Nowadays, we have 7 billion. Where are the others? They are all gone. But among the 50 billion people who have ever lived on this earth, there is one man which stand cut above all every name. That's the name of Jesus Christ. And if you look at the Gospel of Matthew here, the name Jesus actually is the book ends of this chapter. Just to give you a highlight here, a hint, is the book ends of all the chapter. Actually, the name Jesus is the book ends of all the gospel. Mark 1:1 says this is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But here, everything starts with the name and close with the name of Jesus. You remember, Jesus opened this world, he created this world, and his return will also close this world. Verse 1, Matthew 1:1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Then you come to verse 16, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Verse 17, and the last part of verse 17, after Babylon, unto Christ are 14 generations. Then verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ. And it continues till the end, verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. And the last one, verse 25, which brings to a close that chapter, and Joseph knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So the name Jesus is really what makes history. And I think I mentioned it once here. The word history is his story. It's the story of Jesus. It's the story of God. This is why the whole history is divided into two parts. Before Jesus Christ, after Jesus Christ. And I often say to non-believers, oh, if you are here and you have never seek and find the Lord, if you have never thought about spiritual matters, without Jesus Christ, you are a half person. It's like actually you are out of history, because history is divided before Christ, after Christ. So in order to be in history, you must be in Christ, because he makes history. So that's an important point to make, because since the beginning of this world, the devil fought tooth and nail to bring to nothing the coming of the Redeemer, but he failed. Actually, the coming of Christ, the birth of Christ, as it is explained in Matthew chapter 1 here, gives us a victory. This is a victory. Because the Redeemer, which is promised, who has been promised for so long, now has came, and so his name is a name of good news. His name is Jesus Christ, and the name Jesus is a hope for every sinner. So, giving hope tonight, you are here, never reconciliated with God, never reconciled with the only living and true God, the name Jesus Christ can be that bridge. So, looking at, we will not go beyond this verse because there is so much into it. But it's important to remind ourselves that we live in a world of names. 50 billion people lived on this earth. You may think there are 50 billion names. But especially in our country here, in this country, you know, the most common name now is something else. You just read the polls, and they will tell you what is the most common name used in the UK. It's shivering, you know. It's distressing because most people actually are living away. They are going out from the heritage, from what make this country to be this country. What made this country to be as it is from the past? The gospel and the name of Jesus Christ. But now they make it a swearing name. They made it something which we should take like your cousin from the street and so on. This is ridiculous. It's foolishness actually. But the name of Jesus Christ is the most important name. So in the Bible, looking at in the Bible, there are more than 500 names rated in the Bible. And actually in Proverbs it is said, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. So the name of Jesus is better than great riches because it's a good name. But let me remind you, names are not just given by fashion. Oh, the last name on television is so on. Let me call my child with that name because the television or the media or the internet or the big star, the great athlete has that name. My fan, he's my hero, and I want to have his name. But that's not the case. In the Bible, names were given for gratitude. Names were given by anticipation. Names were given to show your personality. Names were given to show actually your identity. Names were given to show your acceptance in the society. And the name may differentiate you between all the names. Even though you may be homonyms, having the same name, your name will still differentiate with other names. So names were not just given by accident. Actually, every name, you can write a book about every name, because every name has its meaning, every name has a root also. I was told that in New Zealand, and this is something I read, they came out with a list of 102 names that were unacceptable for children. So which means those 102 names, it is forbidden to call a child with that name. But it's interesting, in Poland, by the way, you can see it from my face that I'm from Poland. In Poland, in every town hall, you have a list of names which you can give to a child. Those names are allowed to be given to a child. I'm mentioning this just again to draw your attention about the importance of names. Names are not just given by accident. And this is why, when you look at the Bible, God gave the first man named Adam. And Adam gave the first man to his wife the name Eve, which means mother of all human beings or mankind. But also God gave the last Adam name Jesus. So names are news, but names are also novels in a sense. So in a world of chaos, God came on earth with a wonderful name. His name, Isaiah 9 verse 5 and 6 says his name is wonderful. Normally it's a synonym name is amazing. Normally, for believers, as soon as the name of Jesus is mentioned, we should wonder, we should be amazed. And as Philippians 2 puts it, by the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow down, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Lord to the glory of the Father. So his name is wonderful. By the way, it was a common name. The name Jesus was a common name in Jesus' time. But it's interesting, you may check it for yourself later. After Matthew 1:21, you shall give him the name Jesus. After the name Jesus was given to our Savior, no one else through the whole New Testament will bear that name again. Why? Only him fits well with that name. We will see the meaning of the name very soon. But it's interesting, it's exclusive. Only Jesus, when the name was given to him, he bare that name. So in Matthew, because we are in the Gospel of Matthew, actually, Jesus was given two good names. He was given the name Jesus, but he was also given the name Emmanuel. I wouldn't dare go in and explain the name Emmanuel. If not, we will spend the whole night again on it. But I want just to draw your attention on that name, that wonderful name, Jesus. And I have 5 points, 5 elements, which I want to put before you in order to explain. If there is somebody again, we feel for your soul. If you have never been reconciled with the Lord, the first one is his conception, his miraculous conception. The second is his nature. The third one is the meaning of his name. And the fourth one is his mission. And the fifth one, his people. So those are the 5 elements which I would like to draw from this wonderful text. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So the first thing is his conception. His conception is a miraculous conception. You cannot take another prophet and compare him with the Lord Jesus Christ, because his birth is unique and never to happen again. It is the most and widely celebrated birth. But Christ, remember, Christ is the reason for the season. If Christmas is just something to celebrate, while Christ is not at all into it, please let me put it this way. Christmas without Christ is just a fun day. Just for fun. It's just another bank holiday. But Christ is the reason for the season. I never celebrate Christmas while putting Christ aside. Because we all come into this world from a father and a mother, and are sinners by nature, by character. What we think, what we do, the way we behave, we sin by commission, by omission. We don't do what we are supposed to do, and we do what we are not supposed to do, and so on. So this is our nature. The Ethiopian cannot change his skin. It's impossible. That's our nature. We are sinners from head to toes, and there is no way. Oh, luxury, pleasures, television, internet, whatever, traveling, hobbies, reading, books and books. You may have books without being intelligent. You may have a good bed without having good sleep. You may have medicine without having good health. But only the Lord Jesus Christ can remove that emptiness which is within us. This is how we were born. From Adam and Eve, they sinned against God. They went far from God. And the only way to be reconciled with God is by repentance, believing in the merits and the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. And he did it. And we must face the facts. This is not just a myth. It's not mythology. It's something which really happened. And he is still saving sinners nowadays, because he is the Savior. And so we need, because of our character, because of our sinfulness, we need a sinless Redeemer. And he must be born miraculously. God sent us a Redeemer, and he said, Matthew 1:21, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Oh, Jesus, a sweet name. So that leads us to the second point, to see his nature. And as I explained, by the way, what we are looking at this tonight is a little bit related to what we said this morning about Galatians 4, verse 4 to 7. But the second, his nature. Christ has two natures. He bared our nature. He is human. He is a man. But not our fallen corruption. His two nature made his name most precious. And here are his two natures. The first one we must look is his humanity. Christ was born in a real family, but unlike other babies, he received a human name divinely given by God himself. You know, in the New Testament, there are two men who have received their name directly from God. You and me, our father, our mother, gives us names. But John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ receive their names from above. Which means when you receive a divine name as such, it means you will accomplish a great mission. You came for a great mission, and this is why that divine origin name was given to the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was called Jesus. And Jesus was his home name. His home name is Jesus. And you remember on the cross, you can check it in the Gospels, when Jesus was on the cross, above his head, there is something written, Jesus of Nazareth. Again, even his crucifixion name is the name Jesus. By the way, it was written in three languages to remind us that Jesus didn't come just for the Jews. He came for whosoever believeth in him. So his home name is Jesus. His cross name is Jesus. And his resurrection name is Jesus. His ascension name is Jesus. His gospel name is Jesus. Because in Luke 24, it is said, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. This is what we are doing tonight. We are preaching the name of Jesus to everyone. Everyone who have never been reconciled with the living God. So it's also his heavenly name. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who is sitting at the right hand of God in high. He received a name above angels and above all names. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And in Matthew 18, verse 20, he said, where two or three are gathered in my name. So his name again is so important even for our gathering. And believe in his name, repent from your sins, and love his name. That's his humanity. So everywhere related to his humanity, he was called Jesus. But now, we can look at his divinity. And his divinity is mentioned twice in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. I just show it to you very quickly. Matthew 1 verse 18, the first one. And at the last part, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. That's it there. It's very, very important that Jesus was born of a woman without the intervention of a man. And in verse 20, the same is repeated. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And I don't want again to distract you here, but this is very important, especially because outside here, some people are watching us and listening also of everything being said here. It's interesting because in the Quran, Jesus is called, we all speak some Arabic, Jesus is called Ruh Allah, the Spirit of God. And I often challenge Muslims, can you separate God with his breath? God with his breath is how many people? One person. So if Jesus is the Spirit of God, Ruach Allah, it means Jesus is God. You cannot escape that. And here the text tells us that Jesus is, yes, he is born from a woman, but his conception is by the virtue, is by the power of the Holy Spirit. So without the intervention, without the involvement of any man. And by the way, Jesus is not only called in the Quran, Ruach Allah, he is also called Kalimatu Allah, which means the word of God. Can you separate God with his word? Oh, if Jesus is the word of God, it means he is God also. That's important. So looking at, for this digression, but it's just to explain his divinity. Because again, in Matthew here, it is said he will be called, Matthew 1 verse 23, behold, the virgin shall be with a child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call him. It sounds again in Arabic like, Ama ana al, Emmanuel, God with us. So, which means God who fills heaven and earth because of us, because he loves us so much. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son because of that love. That God who fills heaven and earth, the holy God, the majestic God, became one of us in order to save us. He became a man yet without sin in order to reconcile man with God. He is called Emmanuel, God with us, in order to save us again. So he is divine, and his divinity is well explained in the scripture. So this is why it is really absurd for me when I hear people, some people are saying, Mary is the mother of God. She cannot be his mother. And some people say, they pray to the Pope, calling him Holy Father. You know, this is a blasphemy, because in John 17, the only person called Holy Father is God. The only one. And that title should never be given to any person. So, Emmanuel, only Jesus Christ. Mother of God, there is no mother of God. She's just Mary, a channel by which the Lord has used and brought Jesus Christ on this earth to save sinners like you and me. So as man, he has no father. But as God, he has no mother also. So again, he came from the bosom of the Father to the womb of a woman. That leads us to our third point, which is the meaning of his name. Thou shalt call him... Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Oh, this is very obvious. It's very simple. The name Jesus, by the way, means Savior. And this is why it's important that he is called Jesus. You know, you may give a royal name to your child, but at the end of the day, he will behave like a peasant. So many people bear a name, but actually, they don't behave like their name. Just imagine somebody being called Grace. That's a heavy name to bear. And in many African countries or in other countries, you are given, your name is the day you are born. So if you are born on a Sunday, the parents will call you Sunday. That's a heavy name to bear. Do you behave like somebody who honors the Lord's day? So names were not just given by incident or by accident. But Jesus' name fits him well. What he came for, he did it. He came to be the Savior, and he came to destroy the work of the devil. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed, says John chapter 8, verse 34. So he is the sinner savior, the friend of sinners. Our sinful condition made him to come as a savior, and his name is Jesus. Oh, never forget, the savior's name is Jesus. The fourth element before us is it's his mission. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. What is his mission? And his mission is expressed in the text. He shall save his people from their sins. And as somebody said, if our problem was economical, God will have sent an economist. If our problem was IT, computers, he will have sent us a computer specialist. If our problem was mathematics, he would have sent us a mathematician. I'm making those things, you know. But here, our problem, the heart problem of man is the problem of his heart. Jeremiah 17 says, the heart is wicked. Is wicked above all. Who can know it? Who can change it? Only God can. This is why he came to save us from our sin. Sin has separated us from God. Sin is so horrible, serious, and hideous. Everything we do, by the way, even our prayers are tainted with sin. The most pious man, you listen to his prayers. Sin is so deep within our nature that it covers everything. And this is why Isaiah puts it this way in Isaiah 65. He said, all our righteousness is just like a filthy rag. Oh Lord, our prayer should be, have mercy upon me, a wretched sinner. So God is holy. He must judge and punish sin. He cannot just overlook it. Never think sin is banal. Again, in Islam, they have what they call holy sin. The holy lie. They call it holy lie. Oh, if it feeds you, then you can do it. Bravo. It works well. But lie is a lie. Sin is sin. As trivial, as small, as white as it can be, sin is sin, lie is lie, and God cannot overlook our sin. He must judge them. If you want to understand how much sin is evil, think of how much it costs. Don't just believe in Christmas, but believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the infinite price for our infinite sins. His hands are well extended to embrace every sinner and make them acceptable to God. Oh, why did Jesus came? What was his mission? I have listed four of them here. The first one, he came to forgive us or to remove us the guilt of sin by washing us whiter than snow by his blood. The second, he came to save us from the power of sin. Sin is not I'm not making any advert. So sin is not a Sony PlayStation or a toy. No, it's more than that. Sin is a deadly poison. And this is why we must think. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you more than you want to pay. So it's not a toy. Oh, sin is demolishing, is ruining the life of so many people. But Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave us dominion over sin. And the fourth one, Christ saves us from the consequences of sin. Romans 6, verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. By the way, there are three kinds of death. There is physical death. There is spiritual death, but there is also eternal death. No Christian will experience spiritual and eternal death. But if you are not a Christian tonight, if you have never seek and find the Lord, those three deaths are, it's the Damocles sword above you, you know. The physical death, the spiritual death, and the eternal death. This is not to make you scared. I really feel for you when I'm saying these things, because we don't want anyone to experience that eternal death, complete separation, no joy there, no smile, no friends, nobody to talk with, weeping and gnashing of teeth day and night. It's not a place to be. This is why we must be again reconciled with the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus came to save us from the consequences of sin. But that text says, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ our Lord. Free gift, eternal life. So, the last one. He came to save his people. Never think everyone will be saved. But you can be saved. That's the most important, because Jesus said, whosoever believeth in me shall be saved. So to do so, to be saved, to be among his people, you must repent. You must believe in his name. And this is why he said in John chapter 6, verse 37, he said, I will just read it for you because it's so important. The text is so important. Verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. You come to Christ tonight, you seek and find the Lord Jesus Christ, he will never say, oh, no, not you, the other one. Everyone can come and be received, being called by the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's his invitation in a sense. But he puts it also in John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. He said, but as many as received him, to them gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The name Jesus again. Verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. To be born in a stable doesn't make anyone a horse. It's not because you are born in a Christian nation or so-called Christian nation or a Christian family, you become automatically a Christian. No, you must be born again, as Jesus said it to Nicodemus. So it's important to put those things before you, friends, to remember that in order to be among Jesus' people, we must repent. Repentance is the key, and look at his work on Calvary and believe in his name. No repentance, no conviction of sin, no salvation. Every saved person is a present from the Father to Jesus. Do you want to be a present to Jesus tonight? You believe in him, you are a present of the Father to Jesus. And I wonder, why is it called a present? Why not past? Why not future? It is called a present. What does it mean? It means today is the day of salvation. And you know the saying, the way to hell is paved with good intentions. Tomorrow, next tomorrow. Who tells you will be there tomorrow? Today is the day of salvation. And today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, do not hearken your heart. So today is the day of salvation. Jesus is God's present for sinners who will trust in him. Oh, I close with this. Remember your condition. You are sinners at its best, able of any sort of wickedness. Come and be saved by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were created with a class, but because we become rebels against God without a cause, we are doomed. But Jesus, the light, came into the world, but people prefer darkness because their work were evil. His name should remind us our only hope. Cry unto him tonight. He is still saving today, and you can come to him now. So repent from your sins. Look at his sacrifice at Calvary and believe that he is the only Savior, and you can come to him. Repent from your sins. Look unto him. Without his name, there is no atoning for you. Without his name, there is no Christmas. Jesus is the present sent from heaven to suffer the agony and to pay for our sins. And Isaiah said, a child is born, the son is given. And Paul puts it this way, thank be to God for his unspeakable gift. Don't value any earthly gift greater than God's gift. Don't give yourself any rest until you call upon his name. His name may be a byword for the unsaved, but it is the password to heaven by faith. Oh, you cannot wrap his name under a Christmas tree. This is actually a pagan tradition, but you can ask the Lord to open your heart to believe in him. Before he becomes your teacher, he must become your savior. And this is why the writer, Matthew 1:21 says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Are you saved? Come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for free salvation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a work which we would have never been able to do. And this is why we plead unto you, we cry unto you, Lord, make us receptive, because left to ourselves, all the things we have heard tonight are already forgotten. We pray for each one of us who have never seek and find you. And we pray that tonight will be a day of salvation for that person. Make the things we have spoken about become true in the life of every sinner. And please, Lord, make this place a place of salvation tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's close by singing hymn 100.